Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. The announcements for this morning are in the bulletin or were before you on the screens as you were gathering, so I hope you've had an opportunity to take a note of all of those which are of importance to us. Special notes, next week being Pentecost Sunday, we will be welcoming into the congregation by public profession of faith, Libby Adams. So it's a special day in the life of Libby and of our congregation, and you are encouraged to be here. We celebrate the university and college graduates today. On the 29th of June, we will be celebrating the high school graduates. So again, if you are aware of high school graduates and can get us a picture of them, we will do that on that Sunday, and a reminder of the welcome summer supper on Saturday, June the 28th. And for tickets or more information, talk to Trish. And as we come this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we who are his people seek to walk in his paths. The call to worship for this morning is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord. Clap your hands, all people.
Shout to God with loud songs of joy.
For God rules over earth and heaven.
Sing our psalms of praise.
God has gone up with a shout.
Let us make a joyful noise to God.
Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. King of heaven, we wait for the day when with all the hosts of heaven we will sing, "The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Until that day, receive the praise of our hearts and direct the patterns of our lives, so that in word and action we may exhibit your kingdom goals to a watching world. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our hymn for this morning is number 313, O Worship the King, All Glorious Above, hymn 313.
Thank you.
people of faith. Let us repent of those things that have drawn us away from God and our neighbors, that we may receive the joy of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Let us come now confessing our sins as we say together the prayer as it appears before us on the screen. Merciful God, day by day we have failed to believe in your presence and your promised forgiveness. We have not trusted in your power to give the riches we cannot see. We have not honored our sisters and brothers as heirs of your desired peace. We have not forgiven others or ourselves. Forgive us the wisdom and faith to be your body on earth, that we may rejoice in the presence of your saving bounty, in the glory of your ascended Son. Amen.
All this we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The promise of our faith is that we are already forgiven, and in Christ's name, given the power to rise up and subdue all that separates us from God and each other. Receive the Holy Spirit and be empowered to be witnesses of God's resurrection power in Jesus Christ. Amen. In your bulletin or on the screens will appear the hymn, "The Trees of the Field," which is, I don't know, when Minnan and I were talking about this hymn earlier in the week, it's not in the hymn book, and it's never been in a Presbyterian hymn book. But that being said, it's one of those ones that's in our DNA somewhere. Maybe we sing it when we were younger, with young people. So we will sing the hymn, "The Trees of the Field." If it is new to you, feel free to join as you are become familiar with it. Sure who started the clapping, but it is there in the music, so you should do it, right? The funny part about that piece of music is I clap in a different place than where the claps are in the music that we were looking at this morning, but that's okay. And we celebrate our graduates this morning. We have two university graduates, and as is often the case with our university graduates, they're busy doing other things, living their best lives elsewhere. So they're not present with us this morning, but we still want to acknowledge their accomplishments. Monica Brown, who is the daughter of Barry and Joanne Brown, is graduating from the University of Toronto this year with an honors Bachelor of Arts in History. So congratulations to Monica for that accomplishment. And she's going on for further studies. She's going to Fredericton next year. Will she take me with her? She's going to Fredericton to study at the University of New Brunswick to take her Bachelor's of Education. And she's not with us because she's working this year in Tignish, Nova Scotia, at the Easter Seals Camp. So we wish Monica all the best in this coming summer and for the year to come. And then Lauren's sliding in because Lauren's not going to graduate till the fall, but Lauren Thomas is graduating from Queen's University this fall with a Bachelor of Arts degree in Film and Media Studies, so congratulations to her for that accomplishment. And she's going to continue working in education, and she's currently co-manages a creative studio space in Kingston's Inner Harbor, If you can see that, for people who are at home, they get a better view of the picture. Lauren took that, I think, from her studio space yesterday. So we're very pleased to celebrate with both of our graduates and know that God will continue to go with them and bless them in their endeavors. Let us once more come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Enlighten the eyes of our hearts, O God, and grant us a spirit of wisdom and revelation through the reading of this, your word. Amen.
Good morning. We are reading the Old Testament. We're reading Isaiah 55, 6 to 13. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For our thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. For the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose and succeed in the thing for which I send it. For you shall go out in the joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up to the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up to the myrtle, and it shall be the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. We're going to do the responsive reading on Psalms 47, and we'll clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy.
For the Lord the Most High is awesome, a great king over all the earth.
Subdued peoples under his nation, under our feet.
He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves.
God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet.
Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises.
For God is the King of all the earth, sing praises with a psalm.
God is King over the nations, God sits on his holy throne.
The princes of the peoples gather as the people of the God of Abraham, for the shield of the earth belongs to God. He is highly exalted. The Episcopal lesson is from Acts 2, verses 43 to 47. Awe came upon everybody because many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believe were together and have all things common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad, generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their numbers those who were being saved. Thanks.
Once more, let us sing the hymn, Jesus, Where'er Thy People Meet, hymn 431 in the Book of Praise, or as it appears before you on the screen. This morning's gospel reading is taken from the gospel according to Luke, reading Luke chapter 24, verses 36 to 53. Let us listen for God's word to his people. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I have spoken to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple, blessing God. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. throughout this Easter season, we have been using the hymn, I Am the Church, You Are the Church, as the template for our preaching series. It is our theme hymn for this season, and so we sing this morning, I Am the Church, You Are the Church. We are going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4 this morning. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are witnesses. Have you ever witnessed something that was so remarkable that it remained in your minds for days? Perhaps it was a magician on television, or if you were lucky enough, on a real-life stage somewhere, who was so practiced at their skill and so creative in their presentation that they did something. They sawed the lady in half, and you had no idea how they had done it. Or maybe it's an occurrence from nature. Maybe you've had that moment of laying out under the stars as a meteor shower goes overhead, or the northern lights fill the sky and they fill you with awe. As we join the closing chapter of Luke's gospel this morning, this is the state of mind that we find that the disciples are in. They are amazed, but incredulous. So awed by all that they have witnessed in these past few days in the story that they are still trying to fit all of the pieces of this new reality that is being offered up to them and to us into the framework of the old cosmology that governed their lives. The risen Jesus is right here with them this morning. And the disciples are befuddled. Familiar, yet not the same. Ghost, no, not a ghost. Just generally unsettling. All of those are the experience of the disciples this morning. It's like sitting at the stoplight, perhaps this has happened to you, sitting at the stoplight and the car beside you starts to move and you see it out of the corner of your eye, and for just a second you think, I'm moving, and you jump and push your foot further down on the brake pedal just to make sure you stop. Right? We have those experiences from time to time. That's what the disciples are experiencing this morning, that they know what it looks like, but they know it's not the same. As the risen Christ first appears to the disciples here, they are confused by his presence. At the one level, Jesus is standing before them, so real that they can almost touch him. But the disciples know what they had witnessed on Good Friday. They had been there for Jesus' death upon the cross. They knew where he had been buried. And every fiber of their beings screamed, "Death is final." And yet Jesus is here, right before them. And all these defeated disciples are their senses. The very things that had convinced them that this was most probably an illusion are also the things that they must use to prove that Jesus is real in front of them. Jesus said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones as you see that I do." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were in joy, their joy was disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Do you have anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it, and he ate it in their presence. Despite all of their senses might be telling them about this figure standing before him, that surely this cannot be true, Jesus is there, concrete and real. He even eats the fish that they gave him, seemingly the greatest proof of all that you are a bodily presence and not just a ghost, if you can eat the fish. It is the final exclamation point on the gospel story, on the Easter story, that this is true. Everything that the disciples had witnessed, regardless of how improbable it seemed to them, was true. And then Luke tells us, Jesus opened up the scriptures to the disciples, and they came to understand all of these things, everything that they had seen had happened according to the word of God and God's great plan of redemption for the world. That God had reached into the sinfulness and the imperfectness of creation in the person of Jesus Christ, that we might be set right with God and that new life might begin. So it makes sense in a way that nothing makes sense this morning. It makes sense that the disciples are confused because God has indeed reached into this world of broken people and broken relationships, and he has set it aright. It doesn't. It couldn't look like it did before, because God had changed its very nature, just as God had promised. And these disciples, defeated, confused, hopeful, believing, they were witnesses. And then Luke tells us that Jesus led his disciples out of the city. He took them as far as Bethany, across the Kidron Valley from the from the walls of the city of Jerusalem. And there he blessed them, and as he did so, he was taken away from them, ascending into heaven. And the disciples, Luke writes, worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. These closing verses of Luke's gospel, they almost seem anticlimactic, don't they? Tucked in at the end of the story of the disciples encountering the risen Jesus and being convinced that he is indeed real and not a ghost, and fellowshipping with him and receiving divine teaching and having their eyes opened and their hearts moved so that they believe in God's great plan for salvation, it seems like a mountaintop experience, doesn't it? And then, Luke just writes, and then they went back to town. They went back to their homes in the city. They went back to Jerusalem. But they continued to praise God in the temple. Kind of seems almost mundane. Too commonplace to note. And yet, there's nothing commonplace about worship. There's nothing commonplace in this story. What holds the mortal divine relationship together throughout the entirety of the biblical record that we have before us and that we read from each week is the praise and worship of God. For it is in praise and worship that we who are followers of God acknowledge the awe-inspiring reality that we have been created by a loving God who forms all around us and seeks to lead us along right paths. For generations in Scripture, worship was the expression of the people's longing to live in that relationship with God and to live into the promise that first expressed in that story of creation, that at our hearts there is goodness, and that the goodness of all that is rests in the eye of the Lord. And for generations since this moment recorded in Luke's gospel, this moment where Luke so casually tells us that the disciples went back to Jerusalem and there they worshiped. For generations, the worship of Christian communities has been our celebration that all of the longing of those generations before us has been completed in Jesus of Nazareth. Like those first disciples, we gather to praise God and to have opened to us God's holy scripture that we can hear all of God's promises again and be reminded of them, and that we can be formed by those words into messengers of hope for the world. Every time we gather together in this place for this act, we become witnesses. And we who are the church stand as a sign to the world of the hope of the gospel. Even today, a place of safety and rest for all who are weary of this world's heavy burdens. Whether it be some large and imposing stone building on the corner of the city street, or, well, we're a little bit off the corner, but you get the image. Or a white-painted clapboard church out in the countryside. Or a group of believers gathered in a living room around bread and wine. Whatever shape the church takes, the church stands as a testimony to the love of God around the world. And as we gather in worship, we tell the story of God's love. We also hear the story of God's love, and we live it out into the world. This is no small thing that we do when we gather in worship. Here in this place today, here gathered around God's word through all time and space, God reveals himself to us and through us as we praise and pray, sharing with one another's joys and bearing one another's sorrows. In my reading this week, I encountered this amazing sentence. Well, it's a little bit more than a sentence, but bear with me. An amazing sentence on the nature of worship written by Justo Gonzalez. And I wanted to share it with you. It kind of pulls, I think, everything together. The one whose life the church shares in word and sacrament is not a ghost or a disembodied spirit. He is the risen Lord. Those who serve him do not serve a general moral or religious principle, nor just the natural spiritual urges of humanity, but they serve one like themselves, and yet Lord of all. In our work and in our worship, we praise the God who breaks the chains of death and hell and opens to us life with God now and always. To all these things, in all these things, we are witnesses. So therefore, let us go out into the world that we might share God's good news with those we meet each day. And in all things, let us give thanks and praise to God, gathering together and declaring his goodness. Amen. Reflecting on the topic of worship, the Living Faith document of the Presbyterian Church in Canada has written the following, and our affirmation of faith will be responsive. The church lives to praise God. We have no higher calling than to offer the worship that belongs to God day by day, Sunday to Sunday. Through the preaching of the word and the celebration of the sacraments, in praise, prayer, teaching, and fellowship, God sustains the life of the church. Worship draws us into the work of Christ. Even now he intercedes for the world to which he came and for which he died. Blessing and honor, glory and power be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Christ has called us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. So let us give generously that we might fulfill our calling as we now present our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy One, we clap our hands and shout for joy. We give you praise and these offerings, for with Christ ascended by your side, you are God, awesome and most high. Use us to be your disciples in this world and to bring good news to all who are in need. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, in this and every age, for the healing power at work in Jesus Christ to fill our world with grace and glory. We pray for our world this day, for all leaders and people and nations, that they may exercise a spirit of wisdom as we serve the common good. Shield all who suffer from the terrors of violence and war. Bring them to safety and new life in you. Make us one human family gathered up in your love and clothed in the power of your peace. We pray for all who long to experience the immeasurable power of your love. Open our hearts to sing your praises and to share the story of your blessing, that all may come to know our living and ascended Christ. Bless your people everywhere with food, shelter, and health care. We pray for the sick, for all in sickness or in need, that they may know your healing love and the power of Christ to bring life to the most difficult times. Especially this day, we pray for all those in the western provinces as they face the prospect of wildfires, the displacement of people, and the loss of goods and homes. Keep us ever mindful of the hope and the great power that we have in you as we offer your healing to others. We pray for all who have died, that together you will bring us to your glorious inheritance of the kingdom, the one who fills all in all. All these things we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was raised to live and reign in power for us, our Lord and Savior. And we continue in prayer, praying in the manner that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn for this morning is number 275 in the Book of Praise, Jesus Shall Reign Where'er the Sun, hymn 275, or as it appears before us on the screens. let us go forth into the world, seeking to love and serve the Lord in all that we do. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace this day and forevermore. Amen.